Welcome to the podcast, Coping Kit for Everyday Life. I'm Rochelle Porter, and I'm here with my friend and dear colleague, Genevieve Lowry.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to our podcast. We're super excited to get this started. And Rochelle, I'm so excited to be doing this with you. We did spend a lot of time thinking about what to call our podcast. We wanted something that would speak to our child life people, but also something that connected to the larger community.
Yes, and that's where we came up with Coping Kit for Everyday Life. These days, we can really use a bag of tools to really help us deal with the both ordinary and extraordinary things that happen in our lives. We are hoping that our podcast is going to want you to want to share with us and learn more about how you can create your own coping kit by us sharing with you all the different conversations that Genevieve and I have had over the years, and really talking about how we use our child life skills to support children and families, ourselves, and each other.
Hey, Rochelle, welcome back to our podcast, Coping Kits for Everyday Life. It's great to see you again. How you been?
I've been good. You know, since our last podcast talking with our friend Tony on friendship, I'm really excited to hear about the topic today.
All right. Well, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Why did the cookie go to the hospital?
I don't know. Why did the cookie go to the hospital?
He was feeling really crummy. I love a good dumb joke. And, you know, one of the things that Tony talked about in our podcast about friendship was, you know, that friends really bring the funny, right? And we actually said that's a great topic. So today we're actually going to talk about humor and the ways in which humor is a tool for coping. It can be a tool for coping. It can help with pain management. It makes, when we laugh, it makes us feel better. It's a release of tension and anxiety. You know, there are just so many ways that humor can be used to help us process experiences and what's going on in our life in a way that feels manageable, maybe is the word to use. I don't know if you remember, humor became like a big thing in medicine with Norman Cousins, sort of had this idea that he could like cure himself. He had arthritis. He had some really serious arthritis. And so he has this theory that he cured himself of a lot of issues related to that illness by laughing, right? So through laughter. And he really felt that laughter was something that the release of those hormones, the way his body responded, that decreased the inflammation in his body. And there's been research to prove this. A lot of that or some of that is true. We also know the story of Patch Adams, who is the doctor at the Gesundheit Institute, where they use laughter. The doctors, or he dresses up as a clown. I don't know if everybody does, but he dresses up as a clown. And I don't know if that's what sort of spawned like the clown care units that came sort of later. But certainly when we were working in the 90s, the hospital that we worked at was a facility that had the Big Apple Circus clown care unit. And the clowns would go around to bedside. And the whole purpose was really just to make kids and staff and people laugh and engage in funny stuff and just really having a great time. So laughter becomes a tool for coping. And I'm wondering, what are some of the ways that as a child life specialist that you've used laughter, whether it was purposeful or maybe unplanned at moments? Like, what are some things that you think about? How are some ways that you've used laughter to help kids cope?
I mean, I think for me, I think I have a dry sense of humor, but kids seem to think I'm funny. But I feel like sometimes, you know, kind of making light of a situation, I think it's important like to kind of figure out the family, like laughter works for some and not for others. But I think also just being silly, I think one of the things is that I really wanted to instill in patients is that even though you're still in the hospital, you can still have fun. So really, you know, being opportunities even to tell a joke or to like do something silly, like even sometimes like the little ones, like take a banana, pretend like it's a phone or do something like silly to make them laugh. Or, you know, I think about like one time we had like these little cars, the kids were riding and I'd like try to pretend like I can get in the car and a kid would just think that's the funniest thing. How's this big person trying to get in this little car? Just little things, I think, just to kind of make things fun and realize this is a place that you can still have fun. You can still laugh and that it doesn't always like to say, yes, of course, there's a very seriousness happening in the hospital setting, but it doesn't have to all be serious. I think of, you know, even like some of the, you know, games we would play with the kids just to, again, have fun. And The one thing I do remember, and I'm still in the hospital, is like, even when my team members, like, you know, laughing, telling jokes, being silly, I think it's important. I feel like if you can laugh together, you can also cry together. Like, I feel like there's something like that connection, you know, that comfortness that you can be free and to joke around and be silly helps you to then be able to deal with the seriousness, because you're allowed to like have that freedom to be, I think I would have to say.
What is one of the funniest things either you've done or something, what happened in the hospital with a patient or with a staff member? What is something that you can think of that's one of the funniest things that happened that really made you laugh, like belly laugh?
That I can tell? Oh, that's a thing.
That you can tell? Different time, people, different time.
Because like, I'm also, if you know me, sometimes I'm a bit of a jokester. So like, I'm the one who like hide your stuff and have you like going around in circles, like looking for it. And you know,
and you would and never know that about you. Like, that's something that people wouldn't know.
You know, wouldn't right? know. Or like, you know, one time, I guess you won't mind, I won't use any names, but there was one time, this is more with the team members than more with the patients, that we had this huge box. And I said, okay, this will be really funny. Let's get inside the box. And then when the person opens it, we'll jump out.
Oh my God. Someone probably like peed themselves.
So we did. And we all cracked up laughing. The other person was not very happy. And all day long, thought she was going to get us. But afterwards, she realized, you know, that was kind of funny. But I mean, like just silly things. Like those are funny times. But you know, something also I think was funny is I think of you is that when I was thinking about when you're doing this episode and things that happen in hospital was Pekino. And how we would do this Pekino game, it would be on closed circuit and the kids could call in and, you know, if they got Pekino, so on and so forth. But like you would have these different costumes on and you would like, you know, kind of come with all this crazy kooky stuff. And we would just laugh hysterically. Like everyone would be like laughing hysterically. So I think you're very naturally funny. You have a good sense of humor. But I think that also reminds me of like some funny moments of in the hospital.
Yeah. And those are some of my favorite moments also. It is Pekino and even just like the preparation for the dressing up, some of the song bits, you know, the jokes I would tell at the beginning and things like that were always kind of funny. But I also remember we had a water fight. This is probably not something we should share, but I'm going to anyway.
It was the 90s.
I know, it was the 90s. So we had a water fight in the hallway. No one got hurt. And it wasn't like for very long. And I think it started with like saline filled syringes and then it escalated to some water guns and things like that. When it came to kids and when it came to being working in the hospital, I was totally willing to do a lot of things to get them to laugh. Right. So I was willing to embarrass myself. I'd be the first one to do the karaoke. I was willing to be part of like things that I knew I was going to be. I don't want to say the butt of the joke, but I was willing to be part of the joke, right? Because to me, if I'm not having fun, then kids can't have fun, right? Like exactly. If it's not funny to me or for the activity that I'm planning or doing isn't fun for me to do, then it's not going to be fun for kids. So like, I can remember we made a carnival and we did like medical equipment, carnival stuff. So it was always, you know, like throwing things into, you know, the bedpan or, you know, I don't know what the hell is. We had a syringe, like shooting at like things with syringes. And I can remember somebody coming out and yelling at us and telling us to clean up the area or that we were making too much noise because the offices were down the hall. And some doctor came out and said, "You're making too much noise out here." And I was like, "That's the sound of kids with cancer laughing. And if you don't like it, you should shut your door because that's the sound you want." Right?
The laughter. What are you want to hear the laughter. Yeah.
You want to hear the laughter. I like to laugh. I like to belly laugh. I like to laugh out loud. I have a laugh that is memorable. You either love it or you hate it. Like people are like, "Oh God, I can hear her coming from a mile away." And then there's other people who are like, "I love your laugh." Right. So it's a stress reliever. And so getting kids to laugh about their circumstances is also a sign of resilience, right? Like that you're making meaning of something, that you've turned something negative into something that you can sort of poke fun at and make jokes about, right? And that also can take us into, you know, this idea of some dark humor as well, which we'll get into certainly. But I also wanted to share one other thing that while I was coming across in my research was this laughter yoga, which I just found to be so fascinating because it's this guy, I think he's a doctor, and him and a bunch of family and friends just went to the park and he just started cracking up laughing and getting everybody else to crack up laugh with him. And like, did this, and they have all these like funny signs and things that they do for like different kinds of laugh and stuff like that. And now they've turned it into laughter yoga and it's all over the world. Everywhere. And I was watching the videos and I was like laughing and I was doing some of the things. I'm like, oh my God, I totally want to take this class.
Yeah, we definitely have to take this class. We're totally I saw the video. We have to do this.
We are totally doing this. And there will be a link to some more information about it in our podcast notes so that people can check it out themselves. I just think it really points to the ways in which that when we laugh, it relieves stress, it releases, you know, those positive hormones in your body so that you just feel better, you feel lighter. And when we're thinking about kids that are in the hospital and things are really crummy, no pun intended on my joke earlier, and things are really crummy, you know, that to sort of be able to poke fun at that or poke fun at yourself or to poke fun at those experiences can really change and shift your mindset and your perspective so that you feel differently about the circumstances that you're in and can, I guess, just change your perspective on that.
Yeah, like you said, change your perspective on being able to laugh at yourself. And I think it's a wonderful thing if we could teach kids that early on, because I think often as adults, we struggle with that. So I think that's a great point of like, it's okay to laugh at yourself and be silly. I don't know, something about it is very freeing. I think about, you know, laughter yoga definitely on my list. We definitely will find a way to do that. And then maybe we'll come back and tell you guys about our experience once we find a place. But I actually tried something, stepped out of my comfort zone and did an improv class. And I felt like that was really interesting because it was, you know, people I didn't know. Groupon is great. Did something on Groupon and went for this improv class in New York and didn't know any of these people at all. And it was, you know, we had an instructor just having us like do these little skits and do this and like just thinking off the top of your head and just coming up with some of the craziest things. And I remember it was like a Saturday afternoon and I had laughed so hard because he was just being silly, like, you know, pretend this. And if you were this and, you know, sort of reminds me of like that improv show that comes on with, I can't think of the guys, the three gentlemen.
Yeah, I know who you, it's the Drew Carey show.
Yeah. And it was like just being so silly. And I was like, you know, I have to do this again. I mean, because it was like, and again, like that freeing experience, like you didn't really think about it, just whatever came to mind and like how like everyone has like a different idea of like what is funny or what kind of, you know, to add to, like to make you like combine different things to make a story. But and like how it all in all the mishmash of it was just so hysterical. But yeah, so definitely I think improv is another great way of like, finding a sense of humor. And then you talk about like this dark humor, you know, sometimes something about, I don't know, it's funny just working in the hospital, you know, medical setting, sometimes like certain things, the way we think about things that, you know, other people may not think is funny, but you know, that sense of humor that you develop is interesting, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, finding people that understand that because some other people are like, what is that about?
Right. I have found myself at a few times where I've made a joke about something that in one setting would be hilarious. But in the setting I was in, people were like, what? That's not funny. I don't think that's funny. And I'm like, oops, wrong group of people, you know, because as we also know, one of the things about me that one makes me funny, but also gets me in trouble is I lack a bit of a filter. So sometimes I've said some things in settings where I'm like, oops, this is the wrong group of people to say that to. But I also think like that part of that dark sense of humor is how we cope with the stress of being a child life specialist or whatever the stress is of your life. Like I said before, for those kids, it was being able to poke fun at, you know, making jokes about losing your hair or making jokes about the ways that the, you know, the color of the medication or just finding ways to poke fun at that. Because it's like a normalizing activity, right? Like it normalizes, it makes something that's really scary and often overwhelming, whatever that is, whether that be loss, illness, divorce, you know, whatever circumstance that you're experiencing, and it can bring it down. It takes it off its pedestal, right? It makes it, I can laugh at you, right? It gives you your control back, right? In a sense. So that being able to poke fun or being able to laugh at something. And I think, you know, that's sort of where that dark sense of humor kind of comes from. It's a way to cope with some of life's really bigger challenges.
Absolutely. Like being able to find a way to laugh at it. Like, you know, sometimes Also, I don't know. Again, hopefully people think it's funny. It was like, oh, my high blood pressure. It's like, oh, yeah, my divorce gift. You know, like, but, you know, like, just sometimes just to laugh at it. Truly, no joke about high blood pressure. Really working on that. But I like sometimes like you just needed that kind of, you know, like that stress relief just to kind of say that thing. And, you know, and you thought it was funny. Someone else was like, well, that's not funny. But I think, you know, we learned like different ways just to kind of, like you said, to normalize it.
Right.
In a sense, because the reality is that, you know, having a chronic illness or going through a loss or a divorce or something like that, you know, it's now become a part of your life. How do I somehow normalize it? And, you know, being able to take a moment and not be in the seriousness of it and be able to laugh about it a little bit. Because right. you already know the seriousness of what you're going through, but also being able to laugh about it a little right. bit, I think, could kind of help in a way.
Right.
So I agree with that.
And I think when you're using humor to do that, there's an element of how do you know when's the right time to use
mm-hmm, absolutely.
Humor, right? So, and I think if a family or the person, whoever it is you're talking to, or if it's a patient or if it's a friend and they're using humor, then yeah, you can engage and join in. But I think that there's, you know, a time and a place and the ability to read the room, the ability to read people's reactions and responses to the circumstances that they're having around them, to know when to maybe crack that joke, you know, when it is to sort of introduce the idea of, hey, is this like thinking in your mind, this is a good time to make a joke, to sort of add some levity or lighten the room or lighten them. Like sometimes things just get like
very heavy
and just wait. And it's like, oh my God, somebody please say something to make a joke, right? Because really what that is you're looking for a way to relieve some tension and you don't want to burst into tears in those moments, right? You know, like I was saying to you before, you know, sometimes those emotions are so connected to each other that, you know, like the deep feelings of grief or anger or sadness are so close to laughter, right? Like the number one and two stress relievers are crying and laughter. I don't know where I got that from, but I read that somewhere and I've been preaching it ever since. And I totally believe it because sometimes I'll be laughing so hard that all of a sudden, sometimes feelings of sadness will come. And sometimes the reverse, sometimes you're crying so hard and all of a sudden you like find yourself like, I don't even know why I'm crying. And you're laughing now, right? Like, so they're so connected to each other in a way. And it's all about relieving this stress. I think it's your body's like your brain's way of protecting itself in some way or I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's something about it is a release because I think that, you know, sometimes, especially when you talk about a situation where there is this tension in the room, you definitely after that laughter, like everyone's like, oh, you know, like you take a breath. Or I mean, even sometimes it's like the silliest things, like say, like no one knows what to say. Everyone's quiet and something is, you know, happening and it's very emotional. And someone, you know, like a kid, like someone farts or something yeah. like so stupid and everyone just busts the gut because everyone needed to release. But like something about that silly thing just made everyone just laugh about it. But yeah, I think it is a release. And, you know, like you said, like crying also does that as well. That just kind of brings things down for a moment. So I do believe that also.
What are some things that you do in your life that when you need a good laugh or you to sort of keep the funny alive in your own life, like what are some of the things that you do to, or are there do funny people that you seek out when you sort of want that?
I mean, I think a combination of things. Sometimes I'll go, you know, movies are great. I think sometimes just watching a funny movie, because sometimes when I'm actually the opposite, like when I'm feeling sad, I'll watch a funny movie because I want to laugh, like to just kind of change it around. I think also just being around certain people, because I think there's certain people in life who are just naturally funny that like I know like they're going to make me laugh and they're going to kind of help me to kind of boost my mood a little bit, so to speak. And then I think sometimes I've learned that I have to step back and like, okay, Rochelle, is it really that serious? And, you know, and automatically when I start to ask myself those questions, it'll make me laugh because I'm like, no, it's really not. Also kind of thing. And then, like I mentioned before, I'm a jokester, a very nice, kind jokester. But sometimes, you know, like that kind of thing just helps too, like to kind of like, it makes me laugh, makes the other person laugh, you know, playing a little joke, a little prankster, you know, kind of thing. I think those are some of the things that I bring humor in.
Yeah. So I've said this before that I do like a 10-15 minute meditation most mornings. But before I start that, I usually watch two or three videos from Saturday Night Live. Yeah, like either old sketches or whatever, or sketches that I know are funny. Like at Christmas, I always watch the SNL Christmas Carol because I just think it's so hilarious. So I will watch a couple of videos like that just to like, and I think it actually helps me meditate because in some ways it does. It releases that stress. It gets me in a different frame of mind because now I've laughed a little bit and then I can do the meditation and then I, you know, go on and do my work or whatever. But, you know, and then sometimes in the middle of the day, like during lunch, I'll watch like, you know, Seth Meyers or Stephen Colbert or something just to like sort of, because, you know, I work alone in my house. I'm so in my own head all the time that sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I just, you know, I need to do something different. I need to change the energy of the room and the space around me and the way that I'm thinking, right? I think that there's an element of creativity and that sparks for me. Like laughing can really lead to some creative ideas and feeling sort of releasing some of that like stuff so that I can think again and think freely and openly and differently than I might have had I not done that. And since there's nobody around me during the day.
There you go.
Although I will say, I do like people who are funny. I mean, I think surrounding yourself with people who make you laugh is really important. My husband's very funny. He's got a good sense of humor. We have a similar sense of humor in some respects. My kids are both really funny. Can't imagine where they get that from. Oh. You know? I don't know. They got funny parents. You know, and so I surround myself with people who are funny, but though who also know when's the time to make a joke and when's the time not to, right? And I think that's a really key element in using a sense of humor as part of coping, whether that be for yourself, knowing when you need to laugh or when you really laugh something off or laugh about something, or when you really need to be like, okay, I really do need to think about this and I really need to be, you know, focused on it or whatever it is, right? But that laughter can help you be focused, or laughter can also act as a distraction. I can also remember with kids, I used to keep my tap shoes at work so that, you know, it kind of was like a glitter for me, you know, like you only bust out glitter in desperate times, right? Glitter's one of those things like, oh, this is a really tough kid to get to, so I'm going to use the glitter, right? The tap shoes were the same. Oh, this is a kid who I got to bust out all the stops. So let me, you know, do a little shuffle ball change for you, you know, just to sort of see if I can connect with this kid in some way by making a total ass of myself because I'm a decent. I could do a couple of tap steps.
Yeah, I remember the tap shoes. I do remember the tap shoes. But yeah, just, you know, again, I think, you know, reading the room, I think is so key, like you said, and determining when the right time is to use humor is very key.
Yeah. So we always have some takeaways at the end of this. And so, Rochelle, what's your takeaway from today's conversation?
I need to get tap shoes.
You actually really might like tap dancing. I have actually thought about taking adult lessons. So don't say no to that. No. Right after our laughter yoga class.
After our laughter yoga. But I guess for me, the takeaway is just, you know, really reminding myself of, you know, not to take myself seriously. And also just really, you know, finding those pockets of time throughout the day just to release, just to laugh, I think is key, is what I'm taking away with it. Like, I like how you talked about the daily meditation and just taking moments that, you know, include that in your day. So that's what I'm taking away.
Yeah, that's a good one. I would say the same thing, like really looking for the pockets of funny and being, and I also think just being willing to be silly and willing to expose yourself. I think sometimes, especially as women, we get so caught up in sort of being professional all the time that we forget that it's okay to do something silly and goofy. And as child life specialists, if we're not bringing the fun, who is, right? I mean, I don't want to say that's all that we do, and I don't want to minimize the work that we're doing, but I do think that having fun is really important work. And I think it's really important that we include that in our bag of tricks, both for ourselves and in our own lives, but also for the children and families that we work with.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we encourage people, as we wrap up today's podcast on humor, we encourage people to think about what makes you laugh, right? What makes you laugh? What brings the funny in your life? Who makes you laugh? How can you bring more laughter into your own life? How can you use laughter as a way to cope with some of your stresses in your life? And we also encourage people to look up a laughter yoga class in your community, or Rochelle brought up an improv class, or look up an improv class to find those things that can really bring laughter in as in a therapeutic way, but also just to have a really good time. So Rochelle, thanks so much again for today, for a great podcast, and we'll be back. And so please join us again next time at our next podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please email or send them to us. We'd love to hear them, or ideas for future shows. We look forward to hearing those also. All right.
Till next time.
Till next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today for our episode of Coping Kit for Everyday Life. We hope you take away something from this podcast that sparks your imagination, or you discover a new tool for your coping kit. Remember to check out our resources and exercises in today's podcast notes. We would love to hear from you. Please share your comments, questions, or suggestions for future shows. You can find our emails in our podcast notes. Look forward to hearing from you.